Crawford, Marion Stowell. St. Helena, California, February 14, 1909. Mrs. Franklin Crawford. Dear Sister, your letter has just been placed in my hands by Brother Mason, my bookkeeper. I have read it with interest and will now reply. When your letter came with the money, Brother Mason was able to take up the last note from the bank. I am thankful that you could let me have the money at this time, for there is much work before us. I have just returned from Oakland, where I have been attending the annual session of the California Conference. On Friday morning, I was glad to see my son, W.C. White, who had just returned from visiting Nashville and Washington, and many other places I will not attempt to name. The conference at Oakland was an important meeting. The question of who should be president of the conference for the year 1909 was decided. Elder Haskell was elected to this office without one dissenting vote. Elder Haskell and his wife worked together harmoniously, and their united labors are much appreciated by this conference. The results of their efforts for the past year show that much good has been accomplished in many lines. I did not attend any of the business meetings, but was able to give advice in some lines. We were much pleased with the spirit of harmony that pervaded the meetings held for counsel and the laying of plans for future work. On Monday, the Lord gave me a wonderful message for His people, and all present had evidence that the voice of the Holy Spirit was in the message I bore in the name of the Lord. I presented before our people principles that were sacred and holy, principles which the Lord expects His people to carry out. This discourse was reported by one of my workers and will appear in print. We expect to hear at any time now that we have obtained a clear title to the Buena Vista property. How thankful we shall be to have a place where our youth can have an opportunity to be educated in the use of both brain and muscle, and where the spiritual work in education may occupy the highest place, preparing the students to graduate to that higher school to be conducted by Christ our Redeemer. At the conference meetings, I presented to our people that now is the time to pledge ourselves for advance work in our religious experience. God's people are to seek now, as never before, to become purified and sanctified, a holy people, who, by the exemplification of truth in their words, their purposes, and their actions, communicate their knowledge of truth and do honor to the one who died, that they might be a praise among all people. The grace of Christ alone can bring this about, making believers not only professors of the truth, but men and women who live the truth, and thus reveal the principles of the gospel. God can make His people a praise in the earth only as they allow themselves to be sanctified by their belief of the truth. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon me and was revealed in the words that were given me to speak. I asked those present who felt the urgency of the Spirit of God and who pledged themselves to live the truth and to teach the truth to others, and to work for their salvation, to make it manifest by rising to their feet. I was surprised to see the whole congregation rise. I then asked all to kneel down, and I sent up my petition to heaven for that people. I was deeply impressed by this experience. I felt the deep moving of the Spirit of God upon me. And I know that the Lord gave me a special message for His people at this time. I realized that I had with me the presence of Him whom the Jews took and crucified, but who rose from the dead and declared to His followers, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Praise the Lord, O my soul. After this meeting, I felt that my work was finished, and we decided to return home the following day. Elder Rice drove us to the railway station in his carriage. I carried a cushion with me, thinking to sleep in the cars on the homeward journey. but my mind had been so powerfully wrought upon that I could not sleep. And during the journey, I silently offered my prayer to God, asking him to give me physical and spiritual strength to reach the people with the message of life that Christ has given to his faithful shepherds to proclaim.
Christ declared to his disciples that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. His life of unselfishness and love was to be copied by them. In his name they were to give to the world unselfish service. The knowledge of his suffering on Calvary's cross and his unchanging love for mankind was to be made known to all people. And Christ further declared, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye shall be endued with power from on high." Acts 1, verse 8. Luke 24, verse 49. God's people are to be constantly reaching up to him in prayer. It was after the early disciples had spent 10 days in supplication, after all differences had been put away, and they had united in deep heart-searching, and in confession and putting away of sins, and in drawing together in holy fellowship, that the Holy Ghost came upon them, and the promise of Christ was fulfilled. There was a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the same day there was added to them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2, verse 41. These disciples did not confine themselves to any class of people or place. They went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Acts 8, verse 4. Mark 16, verse 20. Notwithstanding the fierce opposition that the disciples met, in a short time the gospel of the kingdom had been sounded to all the inhabited parts of the earth. In the providence of God, great multitudes were gathered at Jerusalem at this time, and many of these were converted. These, returning to their homes, carried the wonderful news to every place. The commission given to the first disciples is given to those who in these last days have received increased light from heaven. It was God's desire that all nations should be aroused to repentance and obedience by the working of the Holy Spirit. The message of saving grace is to be preached to all nations and kindreds and tongues and peoples. Let every soul now follow the movings of the Spirit of God. Let the truth go forth as a lamp that burneth. Not all can fill the same place, but everyone who yields himself to the consecrating influence of the Holy Spirit will be under the control of Christ. And for consecrated men and women, God has made full provision. Actual service will determine the character of the work of those ordained of God to bring salvation to human hearts and minds. The work of God needs the gifts and offerings of his people. These are to be bestowed for the advancement of his kingdom. Just as long as men and women will be led and guided by the Holy Spirit for the magnifying of God's law and the advancement of the kingdom of grace, the work will go forward. Just so surely as they give evidence of the fruits of the Spirit in heart and life and character, souls will be reached and saved. "Go to all nations," Christ says. "My Spirit shall go with you, and angels of God that excel in strength will be present to aid every soul who by living, faith, will make God his strength." I pray that every soul may see the necessity of using every capability in wise, earnest work for God. Let none be held back by any forbiddings of men. Seek the Lord with all the heart and with all the soul, and work in the Spirit of Christ.